Have you ever wondered why God doesn't speak more than he does? Or perhaps in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, have you ever wondered why God seems silent and absent? And sometimes even when he does speak or appears to speak, it doesn't answer your problem. In fact, sometimes even creates further problems. Israel had been through much, had been the people of God and seen God work with miracles, heard God speak, followed God when God led, at least in the desert, and knew they were very special to God. And yet, for 400 years, it had been silent. Silent, no word from the prophets. Silent, they were under siege and oppressed by the Romans. Silent, their people were being killed and their religion being set aside. Oh, they were given special privileges, but those special privileges seemed much different than what God had promised. Is God real? Is God relational? Does God speak? Does he care what's going on in our lives? And you can imagine, perhaps even you have experienced those kind of questions when it does sometimes feel like God is silent. Our Advent this year, we have said, is the reality that God shatters the silence sometimes. And when he shatters the silence, it is often in ways that we would least expect. And when we see ourselves as a part of his plan, it's often in ways that bring us further confusion. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew is a book that is written in such a way that it shows us that God's plan has always been at work. And even when God feels like he is being silent, he's actually at work. And Matthew shows us that God had prophesied this, that God had worked and planned for what was to come. And even when it appeared like he was silent and absent and perhaps had just wound up the world and was letting it drift, God actually was profoundly at work. Matthew introduces us to Jesus as king, the long-awaited messianic king, the one who rules the world, the one who came as the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us, the Christ, the Messiah, the prophesied one, the ruler of all things. It surprises me a little in the Bible that often when we have passages like the one we find in Matthew 1, the emphasis, although on Jesus, includes a number of other stories. And in the story we will look at this morning, the emphasis is on a man who, as far as we know, speaks no words. Obviously, in real life, he did, and yet in the stories that include this man, he is silent, and yet his actions speak loudly. And the Bible shows us a lot about him, not only in terms of how he responds to the silence of God, but also when God speaks and shatters that silence in a way that is difficult, in fact, would have destroyed his dreams and his life, he responds in full submission. He is often the forgotten man at Christmas, and yet his role and what he has done important enough for God to notice, and in fact to make central, really, outside of Jesus, to the passage we will look at today. Jesus dominates, three names of Jesus given, the amazing reality of what God is doing in his plans, and yet Joseph is put on display for us, the quiet man of Christmas. I want us to read the text and again try to remember that this is a real person who had real dreams, who had met a beautiful young lady, perhaps arranged, but certainly during the time they were betrothed, engaged, it would have been a time of getting to know her, of dreaming with her, of a future that would honor God and that would see them produce children and live a life that was healthy. They were poor. And poor people dream big dreams as well. He was a carpenter. We find that out later. and he was a man who believed in God and trusted in God. I want to pick it up in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, there's two names that are given, there is a third that is coming, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. This is one of the great passages on the virgin birth, and it is essential for us to understand in terms of Jesus being the God-man that she was a virgin when she gave birth. Her husband Joseph, being a just man, some translations faithful or righteous, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, which means, as they would have known, God saves, Yahweh saves. I want us to walk through this story as if it was the first time we were listening to it and try to feel and think and choose with Joseph. I think the reason this quiet man of Christmas is here is not to distract from the story of Jesus, but to show us how we too can be, and in fact are, a part of the plan of God, even when we find our lives at least appearing to be lived in the silence of God. Or perhaps, as in the case of Joseph, when that silence is shattered by his plan, his purposes, and yet that plan and those purposes don't bring the dream that you had. In fact, they, at least in the case of Joseph, often in the cases in the Bible, shatter the dreams. I want us to notice first the betrayal, a broken future. Now, you know very well, because you have been reading with me, and you probably know the Christmas story, that Mary did not betray Joseph. But I would imagine, in fact, I don't have to imagine very hard, that he would have felt that betrayal. I think with most scholars that Mary probably shared with Joseph what she had heard from the angel, and I think that Joseph knew that what she was saying was impossible. The narrator tells us, and she was found with the child, and she was found to be a child from the Holy Spirit, but who had ever heard of such a thing? Well, perhaps we have now, but then they would not have. Oh, prophesied, but they did not all understand that prophecy the way we can now. So it would have been confusing, it would have been devastating, it would have been a betrayal, and that betrayal would have meant that the future he had dreamed of was now over. And it was not his fault. The Bible tells us he was a righteous man, a just man, a faithful man. And so what we do know about Joseph, in spite of his silence, is that the Bible shares with us that his dreams, his future was shattered not by his choices. He was not responsible for her purity, at least in this case. It was shattered because what he thought would have been a choice of Mary, or at the very least, a choice of someone else. And I think when Mary did talk to him about what had happened to her, he must have assumed that she was either crazy or impure. All that he had thought as a faithful follower of God, all that he had dreamed in terms of his future with her, now shattered. I don't know if you've ever felt that in your own life, if you have maybe been the cause of that and hurt others, or perhaps been the recipient in innocence of what someone else has done, or maybe just a situation that you're in. But it is interesting, as you study the Bible, often the plans of God, often what he invades in terms of space-time history with those plans in our lives is different than what we had have expected, and perhaps stronger, different than what we would want. Joseph had never wanted this, and it shattered his dreams. Secondly, I want us to notice what the text does with that shattered dreams, and I've called this the response, a righteous choice. We often don't get a choice in terms of what happens to us, but we always have a choice in terms of how we respond to what happens to us. And in verses 18 to 19, what we discover is that he was a faith-filled man. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. And so his response could have been, rightly, to ostracize her, to hurt her, to even perhaps have her put to death for her impurity, for her betrayal of him. But instead, what he chooses to do is to divorce her quietly. As a righteous man, it means not only someone who keeps God's word, but in this case, someone who keeps God's word God's way, which means not only holiness or choosing to obey what is the revealed word of God, but also to do that with compassion. It is interesting that I have heard from some, and perhaps some truth to it, that some of those who are least compassionate are those who are most religious. But being religious does not make you righteous, even if you think you are because of how you treat others. In fact, the truly righteous, as displayed here by Joseph for us, I think as an example to us of how to live, as well as the reality of who Jesus was and is to help us to respond correctly, to help us to understand what true righteousness looks like. And so the choice that he makes in the midst of the betrayal that is so serious, so severe, that his whole life would have been out of his control, devastated and destroyed, was to protect the one whom he at this point would have thought betrayed him. What kind of choices do you make when your life falls apart, when your dreams are shattered? Well, as a righteous man, he couldn't just welcome her back in, her choices, or at least what he would have perceived to be her choices, would have needed punishment or at least acknowledgement. You don't hide sin when you are righteous, and yet he didn't want her to suffer shame. And so as a righteous man, as a just man, in the grace of God, or at least what he would have understood in terms of compassion as one who is truly righteous, he chooses to protect her. Not bending God's law, not excusing sin, but also choosing to respond in a loving way. And in fact, I think Joseph, who becomes the stepfather of Jesus, who puts this on display more richly than anyone else in history, is there for us as an example of someone who not only had this faithfulness to God in terms of obeying his word, but also a compassion to treat others who had wronged him, or at least from his perception had, in such a way that he chooses to use what was in his power to hurt, to at the very least offer some help. Joseph is an amazing man of character. In fact, if you were to go ahead and follow the example of Jesus, we are called to be imitators of God, Ephesians 5, 1 to 2, as dearly loved children, and to live a life of love, just as God loved us and sent his Son to be a sanctification for us, sent his Son, Jesus, to live for us. Now, Joseph, a part of that plan, a part of what God had planned from eternity past, responds in faithfulness before he understands his role in that plan. This is an example for us, I think, of those who believe in God, who long for the good things, a wife, a family for Joseph, an opportunity to lead his family towards God, which he certainly does as we follow and trace his life. And when that is shattered, And in the brokenness of this life, if you live for very long, your dreams will be shattered. He shows us, without fully understanding what is going on, the way someone who is faith-filled, someone who is just and compassionate, can respond to those who wrong him. His dreams shattered, his world broken, perhaps he would have thought, beyond repair. Shame. Maybe there were those who thought he was the one who was impure with her and betrayed God and his morals. Guilt in terms of what does he do with her and how does that look. It was probably overwhelming. The betrayal, a broken future. The response, a righteous choice. Thirdly, the revelation. God is at work. God's plan is at work, and he has a dream. There are in the Bible a number of dreams that occur, and in fact, most of them, funny enough, happen to Joseph, but a different Joseph. Joseph takes most of the dreams in the Bible, but here, God gives him a dream, and in that dream, God shows him the reality of what is really going on. God reveals to him the plan that he is a part of. But as he considered these things, picking up in verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. Why son of David? Well, the Messiahship is important, especially to Matthew, and he wants to show us that Jesus is the king. Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. What was he fearing? For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Impossible, unless God is real. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. What is revealed? Well, it's shocking. It's outside of the realm of possibilities unless God exists. And it must have been overwhelming for him, for not only is Mary incredibly special, most honored, but he also, as her husband, as the stepdad of the Messiah, the Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, he is a part of the plan of God. And in spite of the shattering of his dreams and the brokenness of his life, everything is changed when he understands and believes and responds to the reality that God is at work. Sometimes what we need in the midst of our own broken and shattered dreams is a revelation from God. God rarely speaks in dreams. In fact, in the Bible, it's even very limited. But God has spoken in his word. And in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of whatever we're going through, in the midst of what we may feel to be a silence that is so long and so overwhelming and so missing purpose or healing, if we read our Bibles in the power of the Holy Spirit, that silence can be shattered with revelation. Perhaps you need to hear the silent voice of Joseph. Perhaps it's to be faithful in the midst of a broken situation where someone has betrayed you. Perhaps it's to choose to respond with justice and compassion. Perhaps it's to realize in the midst of your own broken and shattered dreams that God has a plan for you, that God's plan is perfect, and that God's plan includes God's people for God's glory. What I love about the Christmas story, which is truly all about Jesus. In fact, if you read this again, what I would say to you, and God willing, we'll come back to this on Christmas Eve, is you discover that this Jesus is the central point of not only this story, which is amazing, but all of history. Jesus is supreme. And what I love about this story teaches is that in the midst of celebrating the greatness of Jesus, the glory of his birth, the wonder of the incarnation, God chooses to use teenage girls. God chooses to use carpenters that speak very little, and yet their lives shout out faithfulness. The angel, when the angel speaks, quotes Isaiah chapter 7, which they would have known as faithful Israelites. And this promise of God with us, this fulfillment of prophecy, this idea that God is at work, and sometimes when God seems or feels most silent is when God is at work most profoundly. God had a plan. Ephesians tell us that it's from before the creation of the world, and in this plan, God had chosen from before the creation of the world Mary and Joseph. We don't learn a lot more about Joseph. Some think he died somewhere in the youth of Jesus, others with other ideas. But what we do know is that God's plan included this man to have an impact on his son, the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised one, Emmanuel, God with us, Yahweh saves, the one who will save his people from their sins. God had chosen Joseph to be a part of the plan of the great gospel that he had chosen for his people from eternity past. We are impacted by Joseph's obedience. This is profound. For the story of the glory of the gospel is one we should never forget. The greatness of God, the grossness of our own sin, the wonder of Jesus coming and being fully man, fully God, and living a perfect life, and dying on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, and rising again from the grave, conquering sin and death, and saying, if you will but believe in me, you will be saved. That should overwhelm us. And we should choose to respond in faith as a part of his sovereign plan and grace. For it is by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And the glory of this story is not only, and when you say not only about the gospel, you need to do so fairly carefully. But it's not only about the glory of the gospel, it's about the goodness of God that shatters our silence, that shatters our brokenness with the hope of the reality that we are a part of his plan. So this morning, I want our fixation to be on Jesus, but I would love for us to do it through the eyes of Joseph so that we can learn some things, so that we can apply this to our lives, and we can be those who choose to see life as Joseph did, and then as Joseph learned and responded to and lived out, that we can be a part of what God is doing. Oh, none of us will be the stepfather of Jesus. But every one of us, if we are his, is a part of his plan. And he has, from eternity past, prepared things for us to do that if we will but walk in them, we become a part of that glorious, gracious gospel story. And so how we choose to live in light of his sovereign grace makes a difference. This should give us hope if we feel God is silent. And this should give us passion if we feel currently our lives are shattered. So what do we learn particularly? I suppose lots of things, but the two I want us to focus on. If in your life you feel God is silent, or if in your life you feel shattered or perhaps betrayed. Lesson number one from Joseph. Choose faithfulness. Choose righteousness. Choose truth and grace. Yes, justice. Yes, you don't minimize the sin of others, but in the midst of your response to them, have a compassion that comes from humility and intimacy with the glory and greatness of the one who speaks in grace and truth and calls us to live as he did. choose to respond in the reality of who God is, even if you can't hear him. And even if in the midst of your brokenness you feel overwhelmed, you choose obedience because you know it's not about what you feel. Although what you feel matters, it's about knowing him and obeying him. Choose to be faithful in the midst of brokenness because God is real and God is relational and God does reveal to us his plan in his time. So secondly, choose hope. For Joseph, this took a little extra. It took the angel of the Lord appearing to him in a dream. For us, I think it takes a little bit extra as well. I think for us, we need to know the word of God that's been revealed to us. The Old Testament, Romans tells us, is there so that we will have hope. And if you read the New Testament, the promises of the returning king and the joy of knowing there's a purpose for everything that happens to us as you study the word of God, you hear from God, this revelation that you are a part of his plan from eternity past and looking to eternity future, then in the midst of anything and everything you are going through, you can find hope to choose what is right, to be who God wants you to be, and to delight that he has placed you right now in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, to be who he wants you to be and to do what he wants you to do that you may influence others to glorify God and place their hope in him. Joseph is not alone as you study the Bible. You would discover that Ruth would share with you the same story of brokenness and despair and then hope and then miraculously as a Moabitess being a part of the plan of God. Rahab, a prostitute, a pagan prostitute who should have died as the children of Israel went into the promised land, and yet God had a plan for her. The other Joseph, or Job, or Esther, or Abraham, or every single person who has responded to God's grace through faith. See, the truth of the story of Joseph is this. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. The truth of the story of Joseph is that Jesus is glorious. The gospel is real, and he is working his plan out through everyday, ordinary people like you and like me. So if you're feeling today that God is silent, hear his voice from his word. Listen to the silence of Joseph and the choices that he makes. And delight in the reality that God never wastes our pain. That God always is at work in the lives of his people. And in the midst of your brokenness, he will not be silent even if you can't hear him. For he will be at work accomplishing his will through his people, for his glory. It is worth it to choose obedience. It is worth it to find hope in the reality of who he is and what he has done. And so this silent man of Scripture, whose silence was shattered by the plan of God, gives for us an example that we might be those who live faithfully, righteous and compassionate, and always have hope, knowing that the God we serve is real, that the God we serve has revealed himself to us in his word, and he's relational. He knows us, he loves us, and he's chosen to accomplish his plan in the glory of the gospel and the greatness of what is to come through his children. Be encouraged. Be in awe. And have hope in the midst of whatever it is you're going through, that this God is our God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you We thank you that you came, that you are the one who saves us from our sins, who pays the penalty of our sins. You are Yahweh Saves. You are the Messiah, the Anointed One, and we praise you and thank you and fixate on you. And you are the King, fully God, fully man. We thank you for your perfection. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your resurrection, and we live with hope in light of that. And oh God, as you have told your story, inspired by your Spirit, would you help us in our reflection on it to remember that, like us, these are real people in real life situations, that in the midst of their brokenness, in the midst of what must have appeared like your silence, they chose obedience, and they delighted in the hope that we all can have of being a part of your plan. Bring healing, bring joy, and in our fixation on you, help us to choose obedience so that we might, with great delight, look back on our lives in history and see the difference that we have been able to make as a part of your plan, as trophies of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.